Pastor Lynette Tobin as she comes forward.
Wow, did you love those videos? You know, I understand how excited those people are to have a toilet. You have to understand that is exciting. And I'm excited. Because, you know, when I go to so many slum places in India, there is no toilets. So you can imagine. So that's huge for them. There's a slum in India. It's on a, they call it a mile, but on a square mile, they have 1 million people. Square mile, which is what, one, how many kilometres is that, Barry? Quick. And anyway, don't worry about it. And in that, we went right through that place, and they have about 800 businesses. You can't even understand people, how people could fit in a place like that. But what got me was I actually found 2 toilets. That's not bad, eh? In a section. And I said to them, now you're not going to tell me those two toilets are for 1 million people. She said, no, that 2 toilets is for 1,200 people. I thought, 1,200 people? 1,200 people. 2 toilets. And that's why, you know, I mean, poverty is a terrible thing. You know, and it goes over so many areas. Just like areas like that, just having a little toilet. I mean, poverty brings sickness. Poverty brings hopelessness. Poverty brings tragedy. Poverty brings crime. If we look at all the stuff and the darkness that's going on in the world, you will find that poverty is behind it. Can you imagine my widows get up in the morning? They don't know how they're going to feed their children. They don't know when they go for the job whether they're going to be raped or not. They don't know that. But all they've got on their mind is one thing. I need to feed my kids. Let alone education. I mean, education for these slum people is a luxury. But so many people are doing such great work over there now, bringing schools in, and people are, you know, volunteering their time to teach these children. Because let's be honest, they need Jesus Christ. But I'll tell you what, they need education. They need education, how to look after themselves, how to look after their health. And, you know, young girls get married, they know absolutely nothing. You know, there's so much work we actually do when we're over there behind the scenes, not just saris. So people, I'm really excited to be here this morning. You know, I love missions. I love missions. I live for missions. And to be part of the Leap into Spring this morning, well, that's just a great honour for me. See, I believe that God's mission statement would be this, that none shall perish. Really? And we have so many perishing from not knowing Him, but we have so many perishing from just lack of food and hygiene. You know, missions, I believe, is something that is very much on God's heart. See, God's heart is that darkness in the world caused by the enemy of our soul should be pushed back. Amen? Pushed back. So that the light of the world, Jesus, will shine and we can actually be part of that pushing back. Pushing back the darkness. Amen? We need to push back the darkness. How do we do that? We do that with the light of God. James 4:7 says this. You'll know this verse well, but I've seen it in a different light in the last few weeks. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That's a word to you this morning. You know, but freedom from demonic oppression is accomplished by submitting ourselves to God. So how do we push back the enemy? We do that by submitting to God in full obedience to His word. We need to believe His promises. This Bible is full of promises, people. Many, many promises. And you know, and as we depend on those promises and believe in those promises and trust in God's word, I tell you what, we will resist and we will stand against the devil. Amen? We need to stand against him and reject all his lies. You know, the promise in God's word is that the devil will flee from us. Are you excited about that? Yeah. Darkness has to flee. But we've got to keep pushing and pushing and pushing and pushing. You know, people are doing great work across the world with poverty, and it is dropping, you know, but we got to keep pushing that darkness. But you know, this is all true that I've said. But I believe there is more to this promise. I believe that we can move from darkness to light, but not only for us, but for a lost world. We can push back darkness in our home, in our family, in our lives, but we need to start pushing back darkness in the world. In Genesis 1:1-4, it says this: In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, Let there be light. And there was light. Then God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. You know, that's God's first divine command. That's his first command, people. Let there be light. And he's still saying that to us today. Let there be light. But we are to be part of let there be light. And this process brings the transformation of the chaos, bringing about life and order. I tell you, people, the light of Jesus brings transformation out of chaos in people's lives, in countries. It actually stops chaos. Amen. I tell you, wherever there is light, chaos has to flee. And our world is in chaos, but it has to flee. See, the earth was full of darkness. And God said, let there be light. And people, there was light. I tell you, the earth is full of darkness in many different ways. But we have the mandate. We have the mandate, people, to keep pushing back the darkness until the darkness breaks. Not just in our own lives, but in a broken world. Darkness is nothing but a lack of life. And we've got to can't keep stopping. We've got to keep going, pushing, 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 until we see the light overcome the darkness. In John 8:12, it says, Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. What an amazing promise. Jesus is declaring, people, that he is the light of the world, and the world is in darkness apart from him. Apart from him, the world is in darkness. But because of his death on the cross, as Barry was saying this morning, he gave us power to be light in the world and the power to break through the darkness and advance the cause of Christ. We've got to keep advancing the cause of Christ. In Matthew's, 5:13-16. You, talking to us this morning, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. This church cannot be hidden. Amen? Cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. This is not about us doing good works. This is glorifying our God who promised to push back darkness and bring light. Amen. So now, as believers, people, we are positioned to be salt and light to this world. That's a big commission. Let our light shine so people will see our good works and that they will glorify God in heaven, as that verse said. Not us, but glorify God. But we, people, have to keep pushing back the darkness until we see a breakthrough over our nation and our nations of the world. You know, it's time we claimed our inheritance and lay hold of what God has promised us in his word. I tell you what, people, it's breakthrough time. And this is one of my favorite verses in the whole Bible because it's a promise. Psalm 2:8. Ask of me and I'll give you some soup. I'll give you some dinner. He said, no, I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. He has given us that to us. Is that incredible, people? That he said, ask for the nations. Ask. Just all we have to do is ask. And they are our inheritance. And today, people, is an opportunity to give, to leap into spring. Sometimes we just see it as a financial exercise, something we do year after year and week after week. But it's much bigger than that, people. It's an opportunity to be part of pushing back the darkness, amen? So the devils will have to flee from people's lives and nations. Every dollar pushes back some more darkness, pushes back more poverty, gives people more hope. Every time we give, we are equipping people to be on rescue teams to bring the light of Christ to a dark world. And you know what? Finances are part of that breakthrough, yes. See, when we give people, we become part of Christ's rescue team. Who wants to be on Christ's rescue team? We become part of that, people. It's much bigger than we think. Missions is a big thing. And we become part of that rescue team, dispelling darkness and bringing light into the world. Us little people here in Wellard, we can bring light into the world. Does that excite you? See, Jesus is the light of the world. And he alone, people, gives peace and hope and joy, a secure future, forgiveness, beautiful ashes, and a reason for living and breaking the power of poverty of people's lives. Will you be part of that rescue team? Will you be part of pushing back the darkness? See, people in darkness did not choose to be in darkness. I was in dreadful darkness as a child. And you know what? I'm so glad that someone showed me the light. And you know what, people? The world is waiting for someone to show them the light. See, we say the word missions, but it's an incredible word because it gives us the opportunity, people, to bring light to nations, even if we don't get on a plane. Do you know, right here in Wellard, you can break the power of poverty in India, Africa, Philippines, just by in here, just by not just what you're just giving, but believing when you give that it's breaking the power of darkness. It's how we give, people. Not, oh, I'll give this and I'll give that. Let's break the power of that darkness. Praise God. I mean, it excites me, this stuff, as you can see. But just think, you don't have to get on a plane and you're breaking the power of darkness of someone's life. See, we have to shift our focus to others who have no hope. We need to look outside ourselves, looking for those who are in darkness, and continue to be part of the rescue team to push back the darkness and bring light. Giving sacrificially, going, interceding, praying, being part of what Wellard and C3 Fremantle are doing locally, nationally, and worldwide. See, we who know Jesus, you know, people, at times we have dark moments, isn't that true? Yes. I've had quite a few in the last couple of months. But, you know, we can have dark moments. But people, we're not in complete darkness, are we? Even though we're going through the dark moments, we know that the light is with us. And we know that darkness has to flee. But you know what? A lot of people don't know this. All they see is darkness. They don't know the light. They don't see the light. And we can show them the light. Amen. See, Ephesians 5:8 says, "For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light." You know, we are the answer for those in complete darkness. Does that really touch you this morning? For those people that aren't in the kingdom of light, those nations, so many, full of darkness and no hope. I mean, who can watch the TV without crying with all those children and women being slaughtered and treated so badly? How can we even watch it? But people, we are the answer. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be their hope. We can show them the light of the world even though darkness surrounds them. Colossians 1:13 says this. He has delivered us, that's God, has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. See, it cost Jesus his life so we could know freedom from sin ourselves, so that we could know light ourselves. But I tell you what, it also empowers us to bring freedom to those that are in darkness. When Jesus showed himself to the disciples after his resurrection, he simply said, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I send you." We can't all go, but we can do what God wants and be part of breaking this darkness. Just, you know what Jesus is saying, actually? Do what I did. Slam the door in the enemy's face. Isn't that what he did? God is a sending God. Whether you go or make it possible for someone else to go, giving is what makes it possible. You know, we saw this church supports many diverse causes in the world, as you saw. And one of the areas is in India. Where I've actually been going to India since 1984, so that's a long time. And you know, Dave and me built an orphanage there. We've done a lot of things over the years. But in 2009, God put upon my heart in a great way, widows. Widows, as I said before, widows aren't 80. They're 14, 16, because they are betrothed to men when they are young. Then the man dies. And once the man dies, they are a widow. They're not allowed to play. They're not allowed to go to school. They're not allowed to do anything, you know. And it goes on and on and on. And you become, if your husband dies or you're a young wife, they say that you're the curse, so they throw you out. And you're thrown out and they keep the children or they keep you as a servant. You know, being a widow is an horrendous thing. I met such an educated woman sitting in a terrible place, in a place called Vrindavan, who spoke the most perfect English. And I said to her, "What are you doing here?" She said, "My family put me out." You know, and that's just the way it is with widows over there, and they struggle and they struggle. So in 2009, my husband was watching a show on SBS, and it was about the widows in Vrindavan. I've never heard of it. You know, it's just about, I don't know, took us about 2 hours to get there, but it's probably 20 minutes out of Delhi because that's what the traffic was like. And when I got there, I just couldn't stop crying, because in this place there's 16,000 widows. You know, not dressed in beautiful sides, but dressed in bits of white, red on them. They had a stick. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, where do these people live? They just live there. They live on the streets. But there was a Hindu woman there, Mohini Giri, who I met. Sorry, because of that show, being who I am, I went behind the show, found out where the place was, got the ticket there and went there. That's how I got there. And actually my church at the time, they paid for me to go there because it was so much on my heart. But I knew when I was there that I couldn't do anything in that place. It's not possible because it's a Hindu place. And it's just, you know, it's just, I'd be killed in the first day. And I don't feel like going to heaven just yet, you know? Anyway, so I watched the show with Dave and I find out where it all is. And when I go there, I could not get over the poverty and the hopelessness in my life. But before I went there, you know, God said to me, "I want you to go there. I want you to some of the widows." But what had happened was, I'd been a senior pastor at the church I was, and I was just starting to enjoy it. I really was. And you know what? They decided to pay me a wage. I mean, I was really excited. Wouldn't you be excited? And then God says to me, "I want you to leave." I said, "What do you mean I want to leave?" I didn't want to leave because I worked in the hospital for years. And I lost my long service leave by 6 months. Now I was going to lose my long service leave again by 6 months. So I said to God, "You know what, I'll leave next year." But God had his ways and I didn't. I left. Took me 7 months, I'll be honest, but I left. And I remember, you know, they gave me a big party. It was an incredible party. Why am I telling you all this? Because it's not always convenient when God calls you. It's not always convenient to give money. It's not always convenient. It's not about convenience. It's about believing him that when we make a promise, he will help us fulfill that promise. And you know what? They gave me a big party. They had flowers and they had people in my family there and there was people everywhere. They brought people over from the east to say goodbye to me. But you know what happened? Monday came. No phone calls. No people. My husband walking around saying, "Lynette, who?" That's what he did to me. Lynette who? And everybody thought I had this big job, you know. I was going to be itinerant. I had one job in January, one job in December. Pretty good. That was a lot of work, wasn't it? Two jobs I had in a year when I actually walked out of that place. And the worst day came when I went home this day. And I thought, God, I can't go on. It's only 4 months. I can't go on like this. I'm going to go back to the hospital. Isn't it amazing that when we give and do something, we think we can't do it anymore? And that's how I felt. I thought, I'm going back to the hospital. And you know, the worst part was I walked in, I couldn't find David, my husband. I'm saying, David, where are you? Where are you? I couldn't believe it. He was sitting watching TV in the daytime, watching Judge Judy. I said, what are you doing watching that rubbish? He said, I watch it every day. I thought, God, I can't do this. I cannot watch Judge Judy every day. But you know what? God spoke to me, and you know, and things have been amazing. But you know, it's not always convenient. It wasn't convenient for me to work in India. But these women so needed me. And you know, God said to me, you know, I just don't want you to be an echo. Sometimes we can just be an echo of what everybody else does. Isn't that right? But he said to me, I want you to be a voice. I want you to make a difference in the world. Poverty. These widows are in terrible poverty. Every day battling to feed their kids. Every day battling to keep their sanity. Every day wondering what's going to happen. But you know, in that time, that's 9 years ago, when we go this year in November, we would have given out 11,500 saris. 11,500. Not only, and you're saying just to Christians, no, we give them to Muslims, we give them to Hindus, we give them to, we're in a co-op, we managed to get them into a lot of places. You will be amazed. And we do this place, you know, which is mostly Muslims and all that kind of stuff and non-Christians. But what they do, they actually put, because I have to be very careful what I say, so they actually put 20 widows amongst all these people. And there's 700 of them, and we hand out saris. And those 20 Indian widows, they work the room, I tell you. And you want to see how many people come to Jesus out of that. But you know what I see? What I see is they come up with their black costumes and everything, and we hand them, we give them a hug and all that kind of stuff. But I see hope. See, if we think, why a sari? Why a dress? You know why? Because it gives them value. Sari is actually an honor to give to somebody. And I thought, God, I didn't understand that when you asked me. And they've got this beautiful sari. And I tell you, go back next year and they probably worn it every day and it looks as good as the first day you gave it. Because you know what? Honor and value. They feel so valued. And as I said, some of them sneak in year after year and I've just seen how they've grown in God. So many have come to Christ. I couldn't even imagine how many thousands are coming to Christ because of this ministry. And you know, but it's of hope and value. But you know what I love? I love when the mother comes in and the little girl comes in and the little girl's in a beautiful little dress and mum's teaching her value and mum's breaking the darkness off the little girls and the boys, but she's giving them hope. And there's those little girls so proud of themselves, full of confidence, all because the darkness has been pushed off their family and their lives. Oh God. He's an incredible God. And you can be part of that. I love it because when Barry says that when we're in heaven, I think of that all the time, you know, in Revelation 7, when all the people of all the world and all that kind of stuff are up there. And I got scared one day and I thought, what if I'm up there and I don't know anybody? It's true, something to think about. What if I don't know anybody? What if I haven't touched any lives? You know, does that frighten you? Frighten me? But can you imagine when we're up there and we see all these people and all these widows and all these kids that have now been educated. You know, and all I did was give them probably what I hadn't. And it wasn't convenient when I gave. But you know what? Oh, God. What a miracle. You know what? You don't know these ladies or these children, but you're part of their freedom. You know what? What you have given has shifted them from darkness to light. As I said, many have come to Jesus. You know what? Our giving will continue to bring them hope. Your giving is breaking the cycle of darkness and poverty in their families. Little children are having staple food. We actually, Dave and myself, we actually feed 50 widows every month. I'd love it to be 6,000 widows, but at least 50 widows are getting staple food. You know where they'd be eating? I saw my ladies eating out of dumps. And our dumps would be luxury compared to their dumps. Whether you give or you go, whether you intercede, I tell you what, it stops darkness. And you know what, people? I thought about it. When we stop giving, darkness will continue. We've got to stop the darkness. Psalm 65, verse 5 from the Passion Translation. I love this. I only found this a few weeks ago. You answer our prayers with amazing wonders and with awe-inspiring displays of power. You are the righteousness of God who helps us like a father. Everyone looks to you, for you are the confidence of all the earth, even to the farthest islands of the seas. Confidence of all the earth. They're relying on us to present God's goodness and love and salvation to them. Confidence of all the earth, waiting for us to bring them the light of Jesus. I'll leave you this quote from John Keith Falcon. It's funny because I don't know who he is. But I just loved his quote. I have but one candle to burn, and I would rather burn it out in a land filled with darkness than a land filled with light. I would rather do that. I could be on a ship. I could be here. I could be on holiday, whatever. You know what? I'd rather be in India amongst the widows bringing hope and future than anything else. See, every time we give, every time we go, every time we intercede, we are pushing back the darkness, allowing God's light to shine in the darkness, in the darkest places of the world, or people. God, help us to be that light. Help us to be that light. Father, even if it's not convenient, help us to be that light. And Father, I just thank you for every person in this place who's the light of the world and what they've done in their own way and many are doing, Father. I thank you. I thank you for everyone in this church and those ones that aren't here. I thank you for being part of pushing back the darkness. Thank you, people. God bless you.
Thank you so much, Pastor Lynette, for bringing the word this morning. Just so touching to hear of the ministries that you